It is time for Second Shot with George Dunn and Evan Newsom. Second Shot, 2.5 shots.
Hey, it's me, the George Dunn man, the man with a plan, the man that's always going around in the sand. I'm here with today
Nailed
for another...
It. Nailed it.
I'm here for another episode of Second Shot, and my co-host who's in the plane with the sand with me is...
Hey, I am ready to build a sandcastle or two, and I brought my buckets, you better believe.
Would you like Devin to build Newsom. A sandman?
A sandman out of sand?
Sandman the sandman? What if Stan Lee were... Yes. I was going to say, what if Stan Lee were sandman?
In Metallica? What if Stan Lee were in... Was that what you were going to say?
From the hot streets in New York.
Excelsior!
What if Metallica were like from LA? they are from LA, never mind. How are you, Devin?
I'm doing great. I just saw a good movie and it's Wednesday. I'm feeling good.
What good movie?
It's called Phantom of the Menace.
What?
Episode 2, Phantom of the Menace.
It's called Phantom of the Paradise. This is our topic today, but I don't want to get into it yet.
Yeah, you gave away your opinion right away.
Or is it misleading? You don't know.
That's true.
I could just.
You
be
saw a good movie that you didn't like.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Are you
Who
the
knows?
Me of this episode?
Who knows? We won't know until we find out.
Oh, that's true. Like most things in life,
you
we
don't
won't know
until
we
you
find
out.
That's a second shot promise.
I kind of like that for a new motto too. Like that's pretty good. I think it's quick and snappy,
just like us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we're here for another wonderful episode of Second Shot. We are joined today by the person who has suggested this. I don't even know the words to describe this film. Oh, they're maybe bonkers.
I can help you with that.
Yeah,
I believe the genre is a. Oh shit! I just forgot. Okay, no.
It's a
sci-fi rock opera horror.
That sounds accurate.
Sci-fi rock opera horror.
And also comedy.
So we're watching, we watched Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was going to say the one other movie in that genre.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Morgan, hi.
Hi, Morgan, hi.
Hi, Morgan.
She's Morgan, hi.
What's her name?
Don't wear it out like I already have.
It's not my name.
Morgan, hi.
But, hi.
I'm going to put you in the show notes. I'm going to put you as Morgan, hi now.
No.
That's.
I am M cubed.
M cubed?
Sorry.
What is happening?
No, no, no.
I think this movie's like melted our brains.
Apparently, because we can't even say the word movie.
My full name and initials is MMM.
I have a cubed. Yes. I have a toothache, Devin.
I know,
so give
I don't
me a break.
I don't know your middle name.
Marie. Morgan Marie Amzik.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Marie.
Is it? It's actually pronounced Amzik.
What?
It's pronounced Amzik.
Oh, God. every Amzik you ask has a different opinion.
It's
calling Emzik, it so like I was brought up to pronounce it Emzik, like
okay,
Emzik.
That's how
like,
I've always pronounced
like
we
say
it.
Emzik, you say the M, like that's what we tell
when
people.
When I say
like,
Emzik, you say the M.
Right.
I like
this is a high quality comedy of George Dunn.
That's like my first name when people say my name's Devin, say the D, and they say Devin, and I was like, yep, that's how you say my name.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yep. Just trying to show that I relate. I relate.
George Dune. Oh, yeah. So yeah, you suggested this Phantom of the Paradise, Brian
yes.
De Palma, 1974.
Yes.
And Mr. Movie Phone
oh
with
God,
a toothache.
Which was invented in 1974.
Yeah, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Composed by, reading this, Paul Williams.
Paul Williams, who also plays Swan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
No shit. Is that who he is?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The villain of the movie.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, I look. Okay, so I don't.
Very creepy villain.
He is. He's something.
It's kind of like autobiographical.
Is it?
In his head, like what he wants to be. I think that's just like the whole piece is just kind of like masturbation for this one guy.
Okay. What's your history with this movie? Because I've heard of this movie for a while, and I've seen very little of De Palma's film. I've seen like his biggest ones.
Yeah.
But when was the first time you watched this? What was like your history with this?
I was a kid. This is my dad introduced me to this. My dad is a really huge sci-fi buff, and he introduced me to like a lot of different movies. He definitely has a soft spot for musicals. My dad is definitely in the musicals, and like weird musicals. He doesn't like your regular musicals, like. But yeah, so he got me into this, and yeah, I was just telling Devin, like as a kid growing up, I was definitely drawn to anything in the household that was anything queer representing at all. Mm-hmm. It's like a pansexual, like queer person. It's like definitely like it was like weird growing up, like with it being like in a, it was like a homophobic kind of like home. But then like there were all these art forms that were very clearly queer. Like
yeah, art being a way to subtly get into these people's heads, you
know? And I'm like, hey, this makes sense.
Like I like that. I like that.
This is right. Yeah. have you guys seen this? Like this is cool. So yeah, that was like kind of like my like why I loved it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, I also love Phantom of the Opera and I loved opera when I was a kid. I was actually like in like the fourth and fifth grade, I started like reading operas and like listening to them at the library.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Super cool.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
We know cool.
And so like
second shot guarantee.
That's actually like why my dad showed me this movie. He's like, I got an opera for you.
That sounds ominous.
That's my dad.
It's called Phantom of the Paradise. You're not going to understand a lot of it, but you're going to love it.
I don't know. It's like mom. Whenever like mom went grocery shopping, dad was like, all right, we're watching very age-inappropriate movies right now. Like,
so did you watch Rocky Horror around this time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Heavy Metal. That was another big one in
my
house.
Oh, Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
Oh, suck!
Oh, shots fired.
I'm sorry. Hey, guys, this is Morgan. I'm signing out. Goodbye.
He lost another one, George. Damn it.
I do it. Now, in fairness, I've only watched it once, and I was like, "This doesn't. Is this kind of like what is this?" But that's an episode for another time. I'd be interested to see what your reaction to Heavy Metal is.
I'd be down.
Yeah, if someone wants to do Heavy Metal, come on, because I'd watch it again. Maybe I mean, there's boobs in it.
Maybe you could be like a resident like rock opera expert.
I'll bring you all the rock operas.
Yeah, we could do that. But no, this is a very like I'm kind of into musicals and stuff, and like rock opera's pretty cool, even when it's done well. I have a lot to say about. I don't know, like
was this done well? I mean, it was done.
It was pretty like self aware. I feel like that it was just kind of poked and fun at itself. I think for most of it. So like I forgave kind of like. It's very, like, you would never guess Brian De Palma did this, I feel like. I mean...
Yes and no. I feel like this is early De Palma.
If you've only seen, like, his big movies, and you've only seen
Carrie or The Untouchables.
Or, like Scarface, like...
I feel like there's a little bit of Scarface in this. Like, I can see, like...
Mm-hmm. Like the dialogues. Chaos at the end.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. like that's a thing. Like, a hallmark of De Palma's is, like, weird... pseudo surreal violence that really shows up in this movie,
right?
Yeah,
the horror part of the genre.
I don't know. I like if you were to tell me, if you hadn't told me, or if I hadn't known that De Palma was a director of this, I would have been like, oh shit, that's weird. But I would have not guessed it, but I would have been like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far from anything else he's done, like, but I mean, a lot of his movies are all like very different.
Yeah,
like Scarface is totally different from The Untouchables, which is totally different from Blowout.
Yeah,
you know, like, but then his obsession with the color red and the very specific color red throughout this movie and all of his other movies,
the record company like building, like all like the black, white, and red.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
I love that being like a Lynchman.
He's great. I'm like. Mad I haven't seen more De Palma. Like I just need to. but getting started. That's beside the You're point. There. Yeah, I mean, this has been one on my list for a while. Like, I was like, because I don't like, I've never seen it. I'm not huge on musicals. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of hate Rocky Horror. like, I loved it when I was like, you know, 14.
Right.
When it's like kind of edgy and cool and interesting and new. And you're like, oh, so like, this is just like really lazy and I don't know. But people love it. I'm not going to like disparage that. But like, I don't get it. This feels way more like what I was wanting as I grew up from Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I remembered Rocky Horror being as opposed to what it is.
Like production, like I feel like...
Well, just crazy. Like it's genuinely crazy as opposed to Rocky Horror, which is like... It's so tongue-in-cheek that it almost becomes, I don't know, like, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem crazy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe that's just with the times or whatever. To me, it's not crazy. But this movie is fucking nuts.
It's still crazy. Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of great at times. It's kind of awful at other times.
Yeah.
Like
ebbs and flows.
It really takes a while to get going.
Yeah, I feel like also, like, when re-watching it with you guys, one thing that was just very nostalgic for me is just how so many scenes just go on forever. And like, you can see like, I feel kind of like warm in my heart. Like, oh, look at the baby's editing. Like they just really want us to get this part too much. I just like, I kind of love that tired feeling of 70s cinema. I don't know. It's very nostalgic for me.
Oh no. The texture of 70s cinema is, it's my favorite. Like era of filmmaking, like especially American filmmaking, like there's so many, like I mean the sloppiness is what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Taxi Driver and any of that stuff, like it's this, yeah, the editing is sloppy at times, but when it counts, like I think you guys were kind of laughing at how crazy and jumpy the editing was at the end. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah,
like this is exactly what I want from these kind of movies. Like,
right,
where it's not overly violent, or it's not overly gory, but you get the point across that he's stabbing him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he stabs him, and then just red shows up on his shirt, but his shirt doesn't rip.
Yeah.
Like, but it works. It feels like Suspiria.
Because you feel it, yeah. Because
the editing in Suspiria is the same at those times. Like, and it's great. I mean, not to just because Jessica Harper's in this. Like, which I didn't know that walking into this. Suspiria is incredible.
Female lead.
Well, female in movie.
Female in movie, right. Like I said.
Female with lines.
Yeah. Like,
her whole audition scene was so awesome. That was so fun to watch.
Until the rape.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Does that count as the audition scene? I'm just talking about the song.
Oh, the second. Okay. I thought you meant the first part.
Oh, yeah, no.
Where they just, like, start, like, she just walks up to her. He's, like, starts singing with her. And her question is, how do you know that? Not, who are you?
Right, yeah.
I wrote the songs. Sure you did. Guy who looks like shitty Doctor Who.
I'm Winslow Leech.
Winslow Leech.
What a tragic character. Oh, my God. It's,
his face was crushed by a record press.
Yes. Just like such a beautiful talent, just taken advantage of, sent to jail, all his teeth get pulled out. And
replaced with metal teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets his face burned. He gets locked up and like forced to write music all day and have it be bastardized in front of his face.
I love that he feels the need to wear that mask even when he's locked in a room alone for 6 days writing music. There's zero reason for it.
Oh, man.
I love it.
I know, it's that like mask Goo Goo is Dolls. Amazing. I feel
it really
like,
is.
Yeah, I feel like it is a cross between the old like Rocket Man movie. Do you remember?
Yeah.
The helmet he had crossed with like a bird.
Rocket Man, like Harlan Williams.
Looks
Rocket
like
Man?
It reminds me of like an owl mask. Is what it looked like.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Which I don't know if that
was
intentional.
It's just a motorcycle
like
helmet with a
Illuminati
flippy
stuff or whatever.
It's a Illuminati.
It's
a like if that was intentional with the owl thing, isn't like the owl like a whole Illuminati symbol?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was intentional to throw that in with like the devil stuff. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Interesting. I was thinking because of the Dead Sparrow for the record label.
Just the theme of birds in general. Yeah, that makes sense too. Yeah.
Yeah, and like George, what you were talking about with like all the, like the camera movements, like kind of like chaotic and everything, like towards the end, like I just like that made me think too of like another kind of great thing about this movie is that they're really playing around with the animation, speeding up the film at a lot of mm-hmm. different points.
Like when he's electrified, there's no lights blinking. He's not electrified. They just slow down the frame rate.
Right. Yeah.
And he just moves around a lot.
Yep.
In a weird way.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful. And like
it's something. Yeah.
This is an interesting take on trying to do something that they didn't really have the technology to do well, mm-hmm. I guess, at that point.
Right. That's not true. They might not have the budget, but they definitely... 2001 well, came out maybe, 5 years maybe before budget, this movie.
Yeah. Well, just having the technology at their disposal.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't like a high budget film. I mean, it wasn't like low production mm-hmm. at all. I mean, it definitely had production to it, but it also just like, I don't think it was like... I mean, it made it to the theaters, but I don't really know like
what it was a bomb. Was. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, it totally bombed.
I feel like, I don't know. I think a lot of those aesthetic choices are choices. Yeah. Though, like, I feel like the electrifying thing is something that, like, De Palma specifically chose because that's probably how they did it on stage, or similar, at least. Yeah. Yes. I mean, obviously, you can't change the frame rating of your eyes, but I don't know. I feel like this movie is almost too self-aware of itself. Mm. Like, I don't know. Like, there's... It seems like it's way ahead of its time while also still, like, not realizing some of the shit that's, like, just so unbelievably goofy. Like, her throwing her hat and, her doing that. That whole dance number is so ridiculous.
I love it.
Then she turns to the camera and just starts singing to the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, he finds this weird balance between cheesy and artsy. Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess are kind of two halves of the same coin. Mm-hmm. But, like... I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I think you really touched on something, what you said earlier, of that the way the camera work was done was like mimicking how things would be done on stage. Mm-hmm. The effects and the acting and so many different elements of this movie does remind me of a stage production.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel like that's all like very unified.
Even the costumes.
And like the cheesiness of it. Like that's theater.
Yeah, because I'm sure this wasn't a Broadway show.
Right.
Yeah, no. You know, this is pretty off Broadway.
No, it was never on Broadway. I mean, Phantom of the Opera was.
Yeah, like Little Shop or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah. No.
I love that it's just like an ode to all that stuff. Like, just even opening with like the like 50s style like mm-hmm. number although that was one of the scenes that went on a little too long probably but I guess that's a musical, the whole song.
And like the like cubit long joint that they had.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
The what?
The weird props, the cubit long like joint that they had.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that part.
You didn't see that?
No.
It was really weird. Like they were like the guy was like forcing like other people in the like band to like smoke this joint.
Oh, okay.
It's, like, super aggro.
It's pretty cool. I like that guy. He reminded me of have you ever seen Dead Alive?
Mm-mm.
No, Devin, you have probably seen it. It's a Peter Jackson movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's his uncle. After his mom dies, his uncle comes in. He reminds me of that guy.
Yeah.
Which is a great reference to two people who have never seen the movie.
Yay!
Well, nailed it. This isn't for us. It's for the listeners. So yeah, maybe two of them have seen it.
Two of the five? Watch Dead Alive. It's fucking incredible.
Watch it.
It's super gory and gross and awesome.
Yeah.
Devin, have you even heard of this movie before?
I hadn't even heard of it before.
Really?
Honestly, before Morgan told me about it. And... I'm happy to see it, like, especially like I have been super embracing just like bad movie type deal. Like, this isn't quite to the level of like a Room or something like that, but
it's
in the spirit of that. Yeah. Totally. And like, so all of the cheesy corny things, like Paul Williams, terrible acting.
really, really, really high pants.
I liked him in it. He got creepy.
He's
but
chewing
like,
the scenery in this fucking movie.
He's kind of like the human version of Gru from Despicable Me.
Oh.
Sort of.
Like, yeah. He has the same proportions except for the nose.
Yeah, if Gru were Tom Petty.
And he never got nice.
Oh my God. Yeah. But he was creepy enough for it to work, I think. And then the bad acting I'll eat up now. Like, after watching like Disaster Artist, just like having so much respect for people who just put a whole movie together.
People who give a shit about making good movies, yeah, as opposed to just making Sharknado. Just right. Like, oh, who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, they're yeah, like trying, you know, like. And I mean, this isn't like a bad, bad movie, but
yeah, this is someone's heart song for real.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird because Brian De Palma wrote this too. Like,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Which he absolutely never made the, and this is light and fluffy for De Palma.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
other like this and like Mission Impossible.
Right.
Maybe Snake Eyes, but even Snake Eyes is like still De Palma. Mm. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's like, I don't think this is not his swan song. but like, I'm curious why he wanted to make this.
Right.
I mean, I know he was like kind of new. He mm-hmm. probably didn't have that much of a choice, but he wrote it. So, I mean, like, what was it? Like, I'm sure he just enjoyed the show, maybe? I don't know. I don't know if he wrote the show. I don't know if he had any involvement in the show. I should do some research before we do these podcasts.
Wait, what show are you talking about?
The stage show.
Oh, okay.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Right.
Because, I was watching the beginning of this movie. Kind of sucks. Like, in all honesty, like... the guy who plays William Leach, what is it, William?
Winslow
Leach. He's awful until he gets behind that mask, and then he's fucking incredible. But like,
really, I thought he was always incredible.
I thought he was funny in the beginning, playing just like this bubbly, bright-eyed boy.
He's super yeah, over the top.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't really adjusted to the type of movie I was getting into at the time, because it was still kind of playing pretty straight faced.
Mm.
Although it was like, it was poking. It was like kind of doing some jokes.
Yeah, like when he strangled Swan, when he's like, "You cannot give this to the juicy fruits."
Yeah, that was like an overreaction where I'm like, that's weird. It's funny.
Yeah, it's like, I think they're being goofy.
I didn't I guess I didn't walk into this knowing that everyone was just going to be entirely one note.
Mm.
And not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like, he's just about his music. He is just about his art. Just like Swan is just about, you know, just controlling. And, like he doesn't even seem to have any real motivation other than just to fuck with people.
Yeah, pretty much.
That really is his entire motivation.
He's under a contract, too. Yeah. So he's got to, like...
Yeah, be rich and young and...
Yeah, I guess. But, like... I kind of zoned out a little bit, but what was his contract about? What was, like, his requirement? What was the thing he had to do? Because
right. No, I see. Yeah, he was just living forever, so he was just kind of, like, twisted and fucking with people, for sure. Like, getting people, like, conned into contracts that were linked to his... Like, he had the power of making contracts because he was in a contract with the devil to stay, like, young. Like,
yeah, so his young motivation is to just fuck with people.
It's just to fuck with people, absolutely.
Which is fine, that's totally cool.
And to have
cool
power. Like, yeah.
I do like that you say he lived forever... when we see his contract being made on video,
mm-hmm,
he's, you know, 20 something in a bathtub,
mm-hmm,
being filmed by video, mm-hmm, which means he's probably only like, that happened like 30 years ago, maybe. I mean, this is 1974.
Right.
So like, it was color video.
Right.
That was, he filmed with his own
cameras.
There were
multiple cameras in that bathroom as well.
Yeah. So he's not that old. Like, and she's like, we went steady in 1940, whatever, you know.
That was
like,
10 years ago.
Yeah, it's not like he was bored after for living for so long. He just like instantly went straight to,
I'm just going to be a psychopath now. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm hanging out with the devil, so might as well act like the devil.
Right.
he was just stoned.
I mean, he's great. I really enjoyed him in this movie. Like, he was just so, like, I don't know. He just, like, he was, like, a magnet to my eyes. Like, I just watched him all the time. I'm mm-hmm, like, yeah, I like this guy.
His voice was very seductive to me.
He was great. Yeah. He was really, like, and like I think he, more than anybody else in this movie, knew exactly what movie he was in. He's not, like, yep, he's not a good actor. You know what I mean? But he does exactly what he needs to do in this movie. Just like... what's his name who plays the Phantom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he's the Phantom, that's like, they're like, yeah, this is the movie I wanted. This mm-hmm is the movie I want for every single goddamn movie. Like, just shitty Doctor Who villains, just like, let's do it. Because I kept getting like, cause I keep saying the Doctor Who thing, but like he's dressed like the Fourth Doctor.
Really?
Like, with instead of a rainbow scarf, it's just like a short, you know, blue scarf.
Yeah.
And he's got he's kind of like a mixture between four and like six, maybe.
Okay.
He definitely has a doctor vibe.
Yeah. And then when he turns into the Phantom, that is like to a T what classic Doctor Who would make a villain look like and right. sound like.
Yeah.
Just like a mechanical, gravelly voice with just like a leather jumpsuit. And they're like, he looks like an alien. That's, yeah. I love it. I've been bringing up Doctor Who a lot recently. I need to talk about it sometime. I need to get it out of my system.
Maybe we should watch a few episodes.
Let's do an episode
about it.
Fuck yes, let's do it. Yeah. I'm into it. Please, someone come on for Doctor Who. I want to talk about Doctor Who so bad. I don't know. What did you think of this, Devin?
I really enjoyed it, honestly. There was a few parts that were, like we said a few times, it dragged on too long, like the opening scene and like the weird Paul Williams I'm gonna make out with Phoenix scene. But like it was like right up my alley as far as like goofiness and like just fun. Like you can't go into this expecting to like pick apart all their mistakes, I guess, and just go with it. Like what was it where like the whole crowd just like politely went back to their seats after
you know
Beef
what she started singing? Yeah.
Yeah, Beef. That's who I want to talk. Fucking
oh,
Beef.
We can talk about Beef.
Holy shit! What a character.
I mean, all these are characters.
This
you
is
say,
like, yeah,
character.
Like the '70s version of like, oh, this is what a gay is.
Well, it was that, and this was the comparison. His character made the movie feel like Wet Hot American Summer to me.
He is so cartoony.
And it's so
in
much
this,
campiness.
Yeah,
he's like cartoony for a cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like he's great. He's funny. Like it's problematic. I mean, I get that. But
yeah.
Like it's still funny. Like,
no,
because it knows what it's doing.
Right.
It knows it's ridiculous.
Right.
Like,
well, because it fits well with the movie because everything is so absurd.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, it's not just the one gay character is absurd. Everything's absurd.
And he's never explicitly said that he's gay or, any,
right.
like, you know, we're assuming that. So
that's
we're the
like,
assholes here.
Oh.
Yeah, straight guys can have glitter stars on their cocks, too, right?
Yeah, David Bowie.
But his character was just so, like... He reminded me of Paul Rudd in Wet Hot American Summer, how he just, like, played just, like, the fucking shithead while it was just, like... Like, just instantly the grimace that comes on his face when he comes out of the plane.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And his name's fucking Beef, so...
It's true. And he could sing. Like, that whole... Like, as soon... The first time he said... He, like, opened his mouth... Like, all of us were just like, what? Like, is this going to happen? Is this like, is he making a voice? Like, what's happening here? And it just kept going. Even to the point at the end of the movie when he, like, one of the last times you see him, he's wearing a bathrobe that looks like he stole it from Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus robe.
It's incredible.
Yeah, talking a little bit more about his outfits, I like in the his last performance scene, he had, like, blood decoration and the blood was glitter blood, which is amazing. Definitely gonna steal that for like future use.
Glitter blood.
Yeah, even paint. They have a scene where like everyone's doing their thing and he's just painting makeup on his face. I'm like, ah,
so adorable.
Triple down on that. Like,
see, he's another character too. It's like where like every scene I feel like he's in, he knows exactly what movie he's making.
That's true.
As
yeah.
Well. He's like all in.
Yeah. And he's not a great actor either. But
oh, no,
he,
he's not. No, he is
but
not.
But he knew what movie he was in.
I would argue he might be
the worst actor
in this
movie.
I think there's a really high percentage of not very good actors that do their roles very well in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't know. I feel like that's something that, like, you can have a classically trained actor who's good at, like, theater and stuff that might not be able to translate into, like, film, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, it's like a musician trying to be an actor and stuff, like, or an actor trying to be a musician. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's because you're good at one thing. I mean, I guess stage acting and film acting are totally different things, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not an actor, so I can't really speak to it, but...
I feel like in like on stage, you have to be so much more expressive and over the top, and
yeah,
unless like the movie fits with that, it's not gonna work, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But
again, like the whole theater thing, yeah, it's like, so yeah, like talking about that is like also what, like for me, it's like unavoidable. It's like, you know, it is like a movie from the 70s. There are definitely like the cringeworthy parts of like just the way that they're treating women. It's like,
yeah,
of course, first and foremost for me, does not pass the Bechdel test, like I said before.
I almost thought they were making like political statement with that too. You know? No?
Probably.
You
don't think? De Palma doesn't have the greatest track history with women.
That's okay, just the 70s movies.
I would say it's also De Palma. I mean, you got Carrie, but that's about it.
Like, right.
I mean, he's even like still kind of doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Like, have you, George, have you ever seen Logan's Run?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I know. That's another one that's on my list.
It's a good one. A lot of like the weird like sexy scenes from like this movie are a lot like
just women piled on top of each other in a bed.
Just orgy kind of like mentality where like, oh, we're like touching each other. Oh, wouldn't it be weird if we just, you know?
It's like they're interviewing Ace Frehley in Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. Just a bunch of naked women just laying on top of them as he interviews them.
He makes a lot of allegories to other stuff, like with Doctor Who, with that, and then there's like the Psycho kind of scene with Beef.
Yeah.
Right.
Then he
puts
a plunger in his mouth.
Yeah.
He'll never sing my songs again.
God, I could, like, so, like, when they set this up, I was like, okay, so this is going to be, like, it's just Phantom of the Opera, but, like, Brian De Palma's making it. That seems weird, but okay, I'm along for the ride. And almost immediately, they're like, no, we're going to hire you to write the rest of the opera, and then we're going to go back to the Phantom of the Opera thing. And it's just like, it's almost like they're like, we only have about 20 minutes of, like, Phantom of the Opera stuff. What can we do? Lock him in a room? Make him right.
Can we talk about that room, though?
It's a great room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the room that the Phantom was, like, trapped in was, like, what type of shape would you describe that as?
It's a half circle.
Kind of.
Well, it's a circle until you cut away and you see, like, this. It's almost like a window. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just, like, supposed to be film perspective or, like, because it's, like, carpeted. And then there's, like, just a window wall.
Right. And almost, like, I mean, if you cut it in half, it looks, like, six-sided. And it's, like, on, like, the roof of it and, like, where the walls, like, kind of, like, implode on themselves. There's just, like, all of these, like, synthesizers. And he's, like, in the middle, like, with this huge organ. And he's got this, like, box attached to his chest because he can't talk anymore.
I'd say huge, like, organ is a bit of an overstatement.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's a double-decker.
That's a Casio keyboard.
Well, okay. Well, in my mind, and I'm thinking about this room is very epic in my mind when I remember it.
Yes. It's huge in the context of the story.
Huge.
Yes. And his actions were very huge with it, too. Because he did not know how to play the piano. He was just really, like, good at, like, placing his hands, like, in action.
Yeah. Halfway through the movie.
I know I'm, like, talking with my hands. It doesn't work.
Well, it's, like, halfway through the movie.
You made the sound, so everyone got it.
We all know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That means hand pressing.
Second Shot Podcast. Here to help. no good.
And then he's like just caught taking all those pills and stuff. That was like a very, like, so tragic Winslow. Like,
well,
it's so bad for the guy.
It does do that, like, kind of, because I mean, it's like as soon as he says at the beginning of the movie, he's like, oh, it's based on Faust, guy who sells his soul to the devil, and like, well, okay, so he's the devil.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was just like the buddy of the devil.
Yeah.
But like,
he had devil power.
It's like, okay, so this metaphor was like, okay, we get it. Like,
right.
I don't think they were trying to really hide it that much.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, when they were doing the drug thing, it's like, so you're just doing these, like, metaphors for, like, oh, cool, like, performers are just being drugged by their things. And it's like, okay.
I feel like this definitely, I think that pulls in on one of the many elements that, like, this movie does do is that it brings in, this is, like, really, like, 70s Hollywood. Like, I think it's representative, like, it has a lot of the elements of that. Like, that's, like, everyone's on drugs. It's like the pills thing is.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like very like a Hollywood time of that thing. It's like everyone, drugs are just going to make all this crazy shit happen in your life. You know, like.
Gotta appeal to the kids.
Yeah, I feel like in writing this, it's like what was definitely like the inspiration, I think, is just like, we got to do like rock or something big. Like one of the scenes of the like final like big concert, all of like the performers had face paint that looked almost identical. It's just Kiss. It was just Kiss. And we're like, Devin looked it up.
It was like a year later.
Kiss in this movie.
Kiss hadn't started yet?
Kiss had started a year before this.
73 okay. was like when their career got started, and this was made 74. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Because it was like, because like Devin made the point, it was like, well, it could have been made in 73. Like,
oh, it absolutely been in yeah,
production. It, like, if it came out 74, if not sooner than that.
I wouldn't put it past Gene Simmons to just like steal the idea to do that. And then sue everybody for stealing his shit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is the kind of thing. It's like a really weird movie, but it's kind of like quintessential Hollywood of its time.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about that access. Like, yeah. I mean,
it's, and we just did an episode on the Josie and the Pussycats movie a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice little companion piece.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, stay the fuck out of the music industry, I guess. It's
pretty similar, actually. Like,
like,
I didn't even think about that. I like that comparison, Dan. Good job.
Thank you.
You're hired.
I gotta go home now before I fuck it up.
That's understandable.
But no, like, it reminded me a lot of that, and like, I think, I mean, I don't know. It really, like, you can overarch it with any entertainment industry, and it like kind of like makes me think about it too hard because I watch these when I'm like stoned or shit.
Maybe you should stop doing that.
Because then I'm like, oh,
clear
shit.
Your head, dude,
what if, like, some, like, crazy, like, fucking crazy, like, podcast executive comes to our house?
You mean Scott Aukerman?
Yeah, what if, like,
that's
fucking...
just about it.
What if Scott Aukerman comes
Scott
to our
Aukerman
house?
Scott Aukerman and the guy from NPR.
Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan comes
Joe
to
Rogan
our house.
Joe Rogan from NPR.
And, like, what if we lose ourselves, man? I already feel different.
I hope so, man.
I feel different. I look back before this podcast started. I was a different man.
It's true, you were.
It's changed me.
Good.
For the worse.
You were a monster.
You were a monster.
I've cleaned up my act. I don't drink anymore, so that's cool.
Fucking wimp.
I'll fucking
fight you, dude.
Oh, well, I'm getting tanked. I'm getting tanked tonight.
Sure.
I'm missing my job tomorrow.
Let's get drunk and fight in the lawn.
Yeah.
Are you feeling that 70s vibe of the toxic masculinity?
I've always felt that. You say that like it's a 70s vibe? Welcome to 2018.
Yeah, that's another
We're
thing.
Funny.
It's like...
At least Brian De Palma made rock operas back then.
Rock opera. Opera.
Opera.
This was a time for like rock operas. Rock Ackerman. I mean, there was Tommy, there was Rocky Horror. There was another one. There's another big one that I'm forgetting. 70s were weird. Mm. I'm not a big musical guy, let alone a rock opera guy.
Right.
George, you and me have lots of problems.
When was that?
I'll fuck you too. I don't give a shit.
Well, let's do it.
Let's fight each other.
Devin, you got this podcast. George and I have things to do.
I got it. I'll hold it down.
Just kick both your asses for a while.
Do the fight in the vicinity.
Whoa. I will arm wrestle you.
I'll kick your ass.
Oh, fuck. It's going down. They're arm wrestling right now. George pulled out a knife.
It's a machete.
Put that
over.
That's not a machete.
What?
This is a machete.
This is a machete. Oh my gosh, this is gone.
If nothing, I'm always on brand.
That's true. It's very true. That's one good thing about you.
That's the only good thing.
Of many.
Thank you, Devin. He does the Kermit the Frog. That's none of my business.
I just did the Kermit water sip after I complimented him. But I'm not going to say anything about that.
You got to make a noise. You got to make a slurping. There you go. Good podcasting. This is
I always forget about the theater of the mind.
Oh boy.
That movie just made me feel real goofy, I think.
Well, okay. You wanted to bring up that it was kind of, it reminded you a lot of Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense of, like, just this weird, crazy, like, because he's not even really in an ascent. Like, he doesn't, like, go up. He goes nowhere but down.
Yeah.
From already zero.
Yeah, this is more like the end of...
the movie?
I don't know. I don't want to give away too much.
I mean, there's not much to give away.
Yeah, it reminds me of it in a sense of, like, people becoming, like, a slave to money or a slave to, like, fame.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
And it is very bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to bother you. The editing's a little more on point.
I mean, it's just bizarre,
I think. But it's still bizarre. They do a lot of weird things in that movie, too. But yeah.
See, Sorry to Bother You, if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
Because it's, by the time this comes out, I think it'll be out or it's coming out this week.
It's like July 8th. Yeah, so next week.
Yeah, after you go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. Cool. but I say that like I'm not excited for that movie.
I'm very excited for that movie.
I was like, oh, the two black cops we were talking about. We were talking about
this
on the porch. What, you had something you wanted to say about it.
Oh, it's just funny, like, how not a lot has changed. It's like, it's the 70s. I was, like, talking about, like, yeah, you can just, like, list off all of the, like, super offensive things in the movie. It's, like, the way, like, there was a scene where, yeah, Winslow was, like, trying to break into Swan's mansion, and he was knocked out, and, like, two cops were, like, approached him, and... like, I feel it was, and like they planted drugs on him and arrested him, and like he went off to jail and stuff like that. And he was like, "Well, it's like, well, there is also like a role reversal there, of, like black cops doing it to a white man,
a white person, yeah, especially back then."
But they are also the only black people in the movie.
They're also the, like there's quite a few female of color background dancers and singers, but yeah, no speaking lines. Yeah,
yeah.
Only ones with speaking lines for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, cool. It's 2018, and really, like, what has changed?
Yeah, I mean, like...
race, and then, like with the women, way they're treating women, it's like they're on the bodyguards were literally picking up women and putting them places, treating them like literal objects.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a rape room in the beginning, like, all the girls...
Yeah, they were just in line.
Yeah, they were just in line to go into the rape room, their audition.
Yeah. with the death cult or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, that house, like, the short doors on it and everything made it even creepier. It felt very, like, Clockwork Orangey.
Yeah.
I don't know, there was something about it that was, like, I don't know, it was really cool, but it was an awful scene, but it was, like, cool.
It was very cool.
Paul
the mansion
Williams
was really
size
cool.
Doors.
I kind of definitely got like a Twin Peaks vibe from that room.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, with all the black, white, and red, and everything you were telling me, like talking about. Like,
I don't know what that is.
This movie reminded me a lot of Lynch too.
Yeah,
who's
for
that?
Sure.
David.
Oh,
Lynch, comma David.
Oh, David Duchovny. Yes.
He was in Twin Peaks.
Oh right, he was.
This is a great. Podcast.
I've never seen
all
the
facts.
We got all the facts. If you ever needed to know,
you should just call this all the facts.
Acting career.
All the facts.
All of the facts.
Second shot, colon, all the facts.
All
of the facts.
Was it just the facts, man? Like, just the facts? Wasn't that like an old sitcom of like business people in the 90s? Just the facts.
Just the facts.
Make a copy.
Big facts, big facts.
There was that, and then then Beef, who I am maybe wrongfully assuming queer individual, but I mean, come on, it's also like I feel like a queer representing an individual, if not
it is, yeah. I think.
So yeah, it's also, but it seems to me too, it's like definitely seems like a straight actor doing like what they think a gay person like would. Sounded
yeah that's
like.
That's my assumption,
yeah,
but,
so yeah, definitely like a lot of like things that are like problematic obviously about a movie in the 70s, and I don't know, I was just talking to my friend the other day, it was just like watching old movies, we're watching Nacho Libre, And nice. What year did that come out? Like 2008 or something? It's like almost 10 years old.
It's around there, yeah.
Somewhere
it was
around
like 06. Oh, no, because Napoleon Dynamite came out in 05.
So. Yeah.
It was like 08, 07.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we were like talking, it's just like, okay, is this like hella appropriation? Is this okay? And like, what is going on?
It is very weird to think about, you know, like, because it's just as far as content goes, it's a very harmless, just like,
right,
feel good kind of movie.
Right.
But yeah, the whole like Jack Black is supposed to be playing like.
I think he's Mexican in that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, it's like, it's never really explicit if he's supposed to be. He just speaks that way because his parents died and, like, left him there. So it's,
yeah, because the joke is that he's Jack Black with, like, this light Mexican accent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's, like...
It's like the last Samurai, but for Lucha Libre.
Yeah. I mean, in Avatar and Dances with Wolves and all that. I mean, like, that's what they are. I mean, we still get it to an extent now. Like, I mean, there's...
Great Wall.
Well, Great Wall is different. Great Wall was produced by China. It was a Chinese produced film, and I believe he wasn't supposed to be Chinese.
Really?
Like I think he's just like in that area. Kind of. I think. Well, also in Last Samurai, he's not Chinese, but Japanese. But doesn't make. I mean, it's the story of a white guy coming in and conquering and being the best. Of anybody.
Being a colonist.
That's the issue there.
Colonizer.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing what white people do best is colonizing.
And explaining problematic white people in movies to
have you ever been to Colonial Williamsburg? So nice.
I love William.
Sorry.
I don't know. I've got nothing for that one. if you couldn't tell.
Is William his friend?
But I mean, like, so, like...
It's his bird. It's Williamsburg.
Cis white male opinion award. But I mean, like, part of it, like, it's very obviously problematic. Like, a lot of these movies are problematic.
Oh, absolutely.
99% of the movies I like are problematic.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of its appeal. Like, at least specifically this one.
If you're a fucking racist, George. Well, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Devin, it's been well established that I'm a racist.
Yeah, it is canon now, I guess.
But I mean, like, it's fun to just, like, laugh at the audacity of it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
because
it's
And I feel
ridiculous.
Like this movie very much is laughing at the audacity of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While also being audacious.
So you guys would be good people to ask this, like, the question is, like, is there such a thing as too far in comedy? Like, there's a lot of people of the opinion who, like, there's no such thing as, like, being untouchable when it comes to, like, comedy. Like, you can... In the right context, you can make anything funny. Like, or are there things that, like, are never okay, you know? Like, that kind of, like...
For me, it's okay to talk about anything on stage. But you have to do it in the right way.
Yeah.
Not just on stage. I don't know about filmmaking. Like, you have to be able to, like, present things as they are in the real world, I think. Some people, like, do it in a way that makes light of certain things, I think, and that's where I think the line is crossed.
Definitely.
I mean, it's always making light
of too. Who is coming from too is like just as much a part of that context.
Exactly, and so it's about what you actually say and how you say it and get across your point in the right way. I guess.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's context is key.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think. The biggest issue, the thing where this becomes an issue is, one, people not understanding the context, not understanding the joke, and that's fine. But also the people who are telling the joke, who do the shut up, it's just a joke thing. Whereas instead of either trying to explain the joke, because I get not like explaining a joke, it's annoying and it's not fun to do. But also like, if someone was hurt or offended by it, instead of just saying, oh, stop being so butthurt, just say, sorry. I'm sorry my joke offended you. I'm sorry it hurt you. It doesn't take away from the joke. It doesn't take away from the point. If you don't get the point, but it hurt them, and they came up to you and they said, you know, your joke hurt me, instead of saying, fuck you, just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just and then just walk away.
Just be a human it doesn't, about it, yeah.
Instead of like, because it's just showing how thin-skinned that person is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Right, right.
It's Because they're getting offended now.
Which is also like, I don't dish it if you can't take it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, don't yell at someone for getting offended when you're just obviously offended.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So like, when, you know, any top, I don't believe any topic is off limits.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there is context, and I believe that there is certain people who will say that it's off limits for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell other people they can't say something, that's an issue. I think that the whole point of freedom of speech is that it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say something really shitty, but they can say something really shitty or say that thing was shitty to you back, and you can't get offended by that.
Because
it's absurd.
Yeah.
you can't tout your free speech when the other person is also exhibiting their free speech and then saying, like, get all up in arms.
We could get very political there. You're venturing into hate speech territory too.
No, I mean it's definitely a tricky issue. I'm not saying like there's no hard and fast rule for any of this. That's why I'm saying like context is key.
Yeah.
Like, because like you can like, I'm thinking of situations that I don't want to say out loud. but like, just, you know, like. Like, as a joke, like, Devin and I were having a back and forth just of whatever the situation was. And Devin and I, we know each other. And I've met you before.
True statement.
Once.
For the record.
Yeah.
But, like, I could call you some sort of name. Doesn't matter what it is, if it offended you or whatever. In context, you and I would have an understanding. If I were a stranger to you, that, regardless of my intent, that could be misconstrued as offensive, and I would be entirely in the wrong.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to say it's okay for you to call me the N-word?
Oh my God.
That's basically what I'm trying to say.
No!
That's all I heard.
All I'm saying is I have a black friend. and it's okay for me.
African-American. You have an African-American friend, and it's okay for you to say the N-word.
Thank you. I got the pass. It's a verbal contract.
No, damn it.
It's on the internet.
Now. No.
You pricked me with that pen and signed my name in blood.
Donald Trump, 2018.
Oh, no.
Or 2020.
Okay. No, don't even say it. Don't speak it into existence.
Yeah, I know.
Don't.
I can't. It's hard.
Never say it.
It hurts. No. I rescind my offer, vampire.
If Swan heard you, we're all fucked.
That's true. I didn't sign anything in blood, though.
Watch out for that pen, double stab pen, shared needle pen.
Yeah,
maybe Trump would want you as like his press secretary because now you can say the N-word.
That's true.
That'd work out very well for his team.
I think I'm just going to start writing for Breitbart.
See, like you guys now, like just like speaking in context, like I'm getting really upset.
You should, yeah.
Fucking good.
We always talk. Like, it's like you try to talk about it.
My blood pressure is rising, and I'm like, why is this happening? I don't want
to
be here.
Well, that's what we were talking about, like, with Sorry to Bother You. It's like being a white guy watching that movie, it made me very, very uncomfortable at times. And it was kind of great because I'm like, I should feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel that uncomfortable sometimes, and maybe that's a problem.
Right.
And, you know, like, it's. Like, it's great to kind of just be put in check.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, this is different because it's like we joke about it and then we're like, oh, now it feels
sad. Yeah, now it gets a little too serious because of the weight of the issue.
Because of what society actually is.
Our jokes aren't funny enough to to land on that.
No.
Right.
See, and that brings back the whole discussion. Like you're saying, you're like right now while we're saying this, you're getting... your tempers are rising and it's like,
yeah,
so should we be talking about that?
My opinion is like, I'm on the side where it's like, yeah, I do think that there are things that are off limits. Like not to be talked about. Like for sure. I could totally agree with you, George. Like all things should be talked about.
But as far as comedy,
yeah, I there's a lot of shit that ain't funny to me.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be funny to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah, and that doesn't mean I don't think it should not be done, but I'm not listening to it, is all I'm saying, yeah.
No, it's entirely understandable and totally respectable.
Yeah.
And I'm always I'm always curious to hear people's opinions, especially fine folks like yourself who are in the talking comedy area of life.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, that's a big thing. Like, the one thing that's always, like, pretty untouchable in comedy is rape jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And... like, I mean, there's a lot of other things that people will cross the line with racial stuff, or mm-hmm. like I've been at shows where I see like a white comedian say some like pretty ignorant stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like rape jokes is the one that's like pretty much never touched. Mm. And when it is,
mostly
because
there's
no one laughing.
They're hard to do too. Well.
Cameron Esposito just came out with that special that I'm kind of curious to watch.
Yeah,
it's getting a lot of praise. And the title of the special is just "Rape Jokes."
Hmm.
And it's about her like situations with sexual assault and things like that.
And yeah, people are saying it's like she's found a way to do it, but I don't know if that translates to everybody. There's not been enough feedback, I guess, yet about it for me to know overall
mm-hmm.
how people feel about it.
Yeah, but I keep meaning to download it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, resonates with me, is what you just said, is that for you, it's rape jokes are not common. For me, it's, I feel they're still very common.
Okay.
In the comedy that I see and watch. And actually, it is mostly women that I do hear them from.
Really?
And it's usually something in the context of social awareness and, mm-hmm. you know, about violence against women and, you know, or power against women. Power.
Yeah.
And, so it is. It is one of those things where I still hear it, and I also still hear it when it's done and with disgusting motivations mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Still here. Definitely.
Yeah, I've never really been a fan of them, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into this conversation, more so than we already
dark.
Are.
Right.
The but world's I mean, like, on fire. The world is a tire fire. So.
Oh, for sure. And not even the Springfield one. Like, I don't know. I'm just, rape jokes are lame. They're dumb.
Yeah.
This movie's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Generally.
Rape included in this movie. Oh, did I just make a rape joke? Was that one?
I think that's a film joke.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Okay. See, it's tricky.
See,
it's
that was a joke
tricky.
To me.
Context,
I
guess,
rape
right?
joke. I think that might be my first one. I don't know. Context. Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't just use, like, don't, like, edit it down.
Oh, we're only... of the over hour we've recorded, I'm only putting that part.
Oh, God!
Just the clip of soundbite of Morgan saying, "I just made a rape joke."
All right. Well,
that's fake news.
Morgan, thank you for coming out.
Oh my God, is that the last thing?
No, we're gonna talk a little.
Yeah, no, we can't. Talk.
What else do you want to talk about?
Final opinions.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, George, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, okay. No, we can't end on that note. That's far too dark.
What are your like kind of closing thoughts on this movie? You were to like talk to somebody who had never seen this movie, and you're trying to convince them, or someone who hates this movie.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely. I would definitely say. For me personally, what I would say about it is nostalgic film. I love it. I love theater. I love the 70s. I love the costumes and the acting. And also, like, I would tell someone who doesn't have like those nostalgic feelings that I have. That's definitely like just like a good popcorn movie of the 70s. Like that was, I wouldn't say done well. Like it was just done. It was a thing that happened.
A ringing endorsement.
It's a thing that happened and I have a good time with it.
Fair.
Yeah, very fair. Devin, you got any hit or miss for you?
I would say it is a hit for me because I enjoyed watching it, and it was made me laugh a lot, dragged on a little bit, but I'd probably watch it again and show it to other people because I don't know, it's kind of funny. Just and for me, knowing it's Brian De Palma too, just like makes it so weird to go from like Mission Impossible
yeah.
to fucking
well
Phantom of the Paradise.
Mission Impossible is that weird outlier where you're like, oh yeah, he did do that. That was weird.
He's got range, man. He's got range.
Yeah, this is a hit for me overall. I think it's a little clunky at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But once it gets going, once his face gets mashed by a record press,
really
I'm like,
off.
Okay, now I know what movie I'm in here for. And it's pretty weird, like genuinely weird. And I've seen weird shit. Yeah, I'm into it. I don't know if I like I wouldn't rewatch it anytime soon. I'd give it like in a few years. And like if someone was like, hey, do you want to watch Phantom of Paradise? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll grab some beer. but yeah, it's a hit for me.
I did also want to mention real quick that one scene was really cool when he was looking for somebody to sing Faust. And
Faust.
He's sitting in his big desk that's the big golden record that he sits in the middle of. And just like the camera panning around to the different genres of music.
Mm,
I thought it was a really cool scene.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of like, it was kind of almost like a Twilight Zone-esque sort of situation where he was sitting in the middle of a big record and like looking at different people standing before him performing different genres, the same song in different genres of music. Mm-hmm. It was so cool.
Eventually found our friend Beef.
Beef.
Love Beef. Morgan, thank you for coming on. Is there anything you want to plug or talk about?
No.
Cool.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. Warm welcome.
Thanks
on
for
anytime.
Watching a weird movie with me.
Absolutely.
Anytime you want to watch a Fast and the Furious movie, you can come on for the podcast. No, not ugh. All right.
Oh, God.
Ooh, God.
All right, you're done. Mm-mm. You're canceled. Devin, you got anything you want to talk about?
Follow me on Twitter at NewsOnDevin. Check out Taco Truck. Check out Above Below Entertainment. Check out Lousy Weather Media.
Old Souls music video you're in.
Oh, yeah,
check
I'm
going to
be in an Old Souls music video soon. Check that out.
Yeah.
Sickening Pictures.
Yeah.
Turnstile Films.
Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator. Check him out, too. SecondShotPod@gmail.com, SecondShotPod on Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff, Twitter. If you want to be on the show, email us. Give us some suggestions, anything you want to talk about. If not, we'll be back next week with a show for your earheads on the 4th of, no, the 4th of July is this episode. So
we've talked a lot about America.
God bless.
This is America.
Love that song. We'll be back next week with another episode. Bye, guys.
I was not myself last night. Couldn't set things right with apologies or flowers. Out of place as a crying clown who could only frown, and the play went on for hours.